All right. Tonight's lesson is entitled, How is Your Seeing and Hearing? How's your sight? How's your vision? How's your hearing doing? So we're going to look at that a little bit, and I'll tell you how this message came about. I was praying about what to teach, and I was just walking through there, went in the kitchen, and as I stepped in the kitchen there, I just bowed my head again, and all of a sudden I heard him say, seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't hear. So I went and looked that up and started looking for scriptures for that. And so I want to just talk to us a little bit about that tonight and how important it is for us to just kind of wake up to the fact that God is talking to us about this. And the truth is something we talked about this in Sunday school this last Sunday, that truth is, this is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. It's not about what I believe about it or what somebody else believes about it. It's what God says about it. This is what we believe. This is what we stand on. This is what truth is. And so sometimes we get to thinking about things and we get it kind of skewed a little bit. We think, yeah, I'm listening really good. You know, I'm reading really good and I'm listening good and I'm doing all these things. And then you get to really thinking about it and making yourself face it. I'm really not doing as much as I could. I'm really not doing as much as I should, you know. And so the truth is just kind of sometimes it's something you have to make yourself look at. Because we want to skirt around it because it's going to cost us something. And it's going to make us involve our time. And we're going to have to make some dedication to this. And so we just go, I don't think about that too much because that's going to require me to do something if I do. And so this tonight is about basically a self-evaluation lesson. And this is not about looking at your neighbor and you know, are they doing that or this person doing that or is that person doing that? No. It's about you only. And we want our thoughts to be turned in on you yourself, not your spouse, not your neighbor, just only you, thinking about just you when we're talking tonight. So, asking yourself these questions, how am I doing on my hearing? How am I doing hearing God? How am I doing understanding what God is saying to me? Sometimes I know God's saying something to me, but I don't know what in the world he's talking about. How does this apply to me? What am I supposed to do? So how am I doing on seeing? How am I doing on catching the vision for myself? God's vision for myself, God's vision for my family, God's vision for my church. How am I doing on what I already know he's telling me to do. How am I doing on doing it, on carrying it out, on putting it into practice? So that's kind of our self-evaluation questions, and we're going to think about those as we go through the scripture tonight. So starting off in Proverbs 20, 4, 20, 21. And it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So basically this says, my son, give attention to my words. So give your attention to my word. You know, and we give our attention to a lot of things. You know, I go home from work in the evening and I grab something to eat, make up the bed, get the housework done, get the clothes in the washer, empty the dishwasher. You know, you first thing you know, it's bedtime and you still haven't made time for God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Y'all been there, done that? You know, this is how it gets away from us, you know. Somebody calls on the phone and it's fine to, you know, good to for us to minister to one another, but we've got to remember, we've got to carve out some time to be with God. And so it's give attention to my words. Make some time in your day. Maybe you need several times a day. Incline your ear to my sayings. And this is this scripture where it basically means incline your ear and basically means attentive listening. Am I attentively listening for you? Am I all day long listening for you? Am I on purpose stopping every now and then and seeing just if you're saying something to me? Am I hearing you say, don't let them words come out of your mouth, but I'm not heeding them. I'm not stopping them. I'm going ahead and saying something when I should be keeping my mouth shut. Or am I saying, you know, you're feeling a little down today, and I know I'm feeling a little down. I know I ought to be making confessions, but I'm just not doing it. You know, that knowing that you ought to be making confession, that's God's prompting you. You know what to do here. You know you're supposed to be encouraging yourself. You know, but we don't do it. We don't stop and do what we ought to be doing. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, that's a big statement. Keep the Word of God before your eyes every chance you get. One of the things I used to do, and this is one of the things that really convicted me in this lesson, was I used to have these little sticky notes on my bathroom mirror of the new scriptures that I'm working on, something that I'm needing to work on in my life. And I'm putting them on the mirror, and so I'm learning memories. I'm doing some memorization while I'm getting ready in the morning. I'm redeeming the time. I haven't done that in a while. So it's basically, you know, there's places that you could put the word in if you would be attentive to do it. And I've let some of those things slip. And I'm sure that you all are kind of feeling the same way right about now. So, you know, what I'm saying is we need to look for places in our lives where we can put the Word of God before our eyes a lot more than we are. So, seeing we see, don't see, and hearing we don't hear. This passage of Scripture is repeated. I was amazed how many times it's repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. All over the Old Testament, the New Testament, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is really an issue. We get in the habit of not seeing like we ought to see and hearing like we ought to hear. And it surprised me where it was at, because you got the parable of the sower, you got this statement, and then you've got the explanation for the parable of the sower. Right in the middle there, right smack in the middle, every time in three different passages in the New Testament, in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark. And you got three different times that Jesus is telling this, and three different times this is repeated. So it just has to be important for us to really get this. So I'm going to start in we all know the parable of the sower, where he talks about how, well, I'll read the first instance here, and then we won't repeat it on the others. And this one is in Luke 8, 4 through 15. And when I study this, I usually study it from Mark. And so this time I chose the Luke passage. And it says, when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and soon it was sprang up, and it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." So I want to stop right there. I didn't go on into the explanation of what the parable means. What I wanted us to get is that Jesus stopped and told his disciples what it meant. And so realizing that we as citizens are the kingdom of God, have access to understanding. He wants us to understand. He stopped and made sure they understood. So, and then in one passage it goes on to say, and if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to get any of the rest of them. Because you have to know how the word gets in your heart, how it grows in your heart, what steals it out of your heart, and what hampers its growth in your heart. And so this parable is all about that, and it's all about this. And he's saying, if you can't get the Word of God growing in your heart and how to keep it there, you're not going to understand any of the rest of it, because it takes my spirit, it takes my word to understand. And so he's talking about this, and he's saying, to you, it is a privilege. You as citizens of the kingdom of God are privileged to be able to understand. And I want you to understand. So I'm going to take the time here to explain this to you to make sure you understand, to make sure you get it. I want you to have it. And so when we're talking about this as citizens of the kingdom of God, we want to make sure that we all understand that God is not up here with a whip beating on you and saying you ain't doing good enough. That's not what this is about. What this is about is to realize the privilege that we've been given and to take advantage of it. In this country, we have access to so much. And sometimes we forget just how privileged we are in this country. Well, this kind of that same way in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of this world, but we're also, as born-again Christians, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have certain rights and privileges as being citizens of the kingdom of God. And let's not overlook those rights and privileges. Let's pay attention to what our privileges are and take advantage of them. Because God is speaking to us from the standpoint as I want you to understand it. I am here because I am speaking this to you today because it is my desire that you would know what I'm saying. It is my desire that you understand that I want you to understand. I want to give this to you. I want you to be able to see. I want you to be able to hear me. And so as citizens of the kingdom of God, I want to make sure that you know that's your privilege and that you take advantage of it because you know now that it's your privilege. Floyd, you had a question?
Yeah, well, it was like a statement, I guess. I just remember a movie that I saw. It's Facing the Giants. And he was talking to this one guy that was praying. And he goes, well, I was told this story about this gentleman, or two farmers. One, well, they asked God for rain. And he said, which one are you? Are you the one that doesn't get your fields ready for the rain? Or are you the one that does get it ready for the rain? You know, and that's what this is all sounds like, you know, because I did get a couple, you know, have God just say, look, I want you, but you got to do what I ask you to do. You got to do, have your fields ready to be able to accept what I give
you. What I give you, yeah.
The water, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The rain and that. You got to be ready to take it when I tell you it's ready.
So basically, I'm going to take that right there and jump off from it and tell you that God wants us to see and hear. And he's saying, wake up a little bit here. I'm talking to you all. Y'all been asking me some prayers that's been going up here. And you all been asking me for some things. And I want to give them to you and I want to talk to you about them. But you're going to have to listen, you know. And you're going to have to look up a little, you know. You got your head dragging the ground so far that you can't look up, you know. So I can remember when I first came to church here a long, long, long time ago that when I'd be talking to Mike, I'd be standing like this and he'd put his finger under my chin and lift my head up, make me look at him. I couldn't even get my head up enough to even look at him in the face to talk to him and hear what he was saying to me. God is saying, remember, I'm your daddy and you can look up. You can trust me. You can look up and hear me and talk to me and listen to me. This conversation needs to go both ways. You're talking a lot to me, but I need to talk to you some and you need to listen. You know, I want you to see what I'm doing and what I'm saying to you in your situations. So what I want us to understand as citizens of this kingdom of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the interpreter living in us. And so he is able to help us to hear God. He is able to help us to see God and to see what God is up to and what he is doing in our families and our churches and help us to be able to discern things that's going on. He's there to help us. But he says, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And so we're talking about a people here that does not have the Holy Spirit inside them. And they can't see with their natural minds and they can't see with their natural eyes what this means. You know, they pick up the Bible and they even try to read it. And then they're, you know, you ever heard people come out with all this crazy stuff that I used to know a man a long time ago that he would tell me all this stuff in the Bible and he'd want to argue with me about all this stuff that was in the Bible. And later on, I think he found out that it wasn't about a natural mind and what the natural mind sees when it reads it. It's about the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying about it. So what we want to understand here is that because we are citizens of the kingdom of God, this is a privilege that we have, that it's open to us. You know, God is just wanting to wake us up to the fact that it's there and wake us up to the fact that he wants to explain it to us. Okay? So now, this parable is also in Mark chapter 4, and basically 9 through 29, this parable is out there, but I'm not going to read that part down to the, I'm just going to read this part starting in verse 10, where it says, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable, and he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.'" So it's not that he's against them from hearing and understanding. It's that they're hearing and refusing to hear, refusing to understand. "I don't want to hear that stuff. Don't talk to me about that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear it." You understand what I'm saying? This was the attitude of it. And so because of that, it blocks them from coming to be citizens of the kingdom of God because they're not interested in it. But what God is saying to us is, "I want you to see and hear because I want them to see me in you." Several months ago, I had a dream about someone, and this boy had been addicted to drugs for a long, long time. And he had gotten free and clean. And in this dream that I had of him, and I want you to all really see this, I saw him like this right here. Just grinning all over himself and so excited and so happy. He would just like to jump out of his skin. And I thought, "Gosh almighty, Lord, that guy is just full." And he said, "Oh, you're not looking at him. You're looking at me." I said, "What?" Because it kind of stopped me there. You know, when I heard that, I thought, "Wow," because I thought, "I'm looking at this guy," you know. And I'm not using a name because I don't want to get about that. This is about the concept, okay? And so what I'm talking about here is that he said, "Just think about it. If you're not seeing his face and you're not seeing his body, I'm just standing here in his body. And what I'm so excited about is he will do anything I tell him to. Anything. If I tell him to go over there and witness that person, he's gone. If I tell him that I want him to take this guy down here and get him some groceries, he's all about it. If he ain't got the money, he'll go get it from somebody else and then go take him and get him some groceries. Anything I tell him to do, he'll do it. That's why I'm excited." And so we want to know sometimes, what makes Jesus happy? What makes him smile? You know, what makes him excited? That makes him excited. When we are so full of him that we just do anything he tells us to. You know? And so that's what I want us to get out of this, that as citizens of the kingdom of God, he wants to be so prevalent in us that other people can see him in us. And this young man, he felt so unworthy to even be in the midst of his family because he knew what he had done all those years, you know? And he was still struggling with that issue at the time. But I thought, man, he just don't know. You know, that here he's standing with God all over him, and he's feeling unworthy, you know. But he had that humble heart, and I just loved him for that, and I still do. But anyway, I want us to just get that picture of what God is trying to tell us. And we want revival to happen. We want that relationship with God. You see all those people up here Sunday morning that was just there because I want more of him. I asked this lady, what is your prayer request today? What do you want me to pray for? "Oh, I just want him," she said. And then all these people were gathering around and around and around, and it was just like, we all just want him. That's all we want is just him. And to me, it broke me down. You know, it's just that cry of the heart, "I just want you, God. I just want you." So I want us to understand that God is, I want us to hear that call that God is saying, "I want you. just like you want me. I want you. I'm all about it. You know, I am there. If you want me, I definitely want you. And so as you're coming to me, I am more than willing to. But I want you to hear, the fact that that is a movement of God. That's not a one-time thing, a one-person thing. That is a movement of God that is here for us for the taking right now. But in order to understand that, we need to know that we have to step up to the plate here. You know, this...
That just reminded me when you were saying, like, I want you and yeah. You want me and I want you. It reminds me of little kids in school when they give Valentine's out to
yeah.
each other. They say, I love you, do you love me?
Yeah.
And it's just so innocent.
Yes.
And
that,
it's
right, and this is innocent and real. You know, it's I want you, God. I just want whatever you want to do, that's what I want to do. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want. Whatever you want out of my life, you can have it. You know, and that the God is looking for willing vessels, you know, committed, willing vessels. And I heard this woman say one time, a long time ago, that when she was involved in a great healing ministry, and she said, I don't think I was the first one he called. I don't think I was the second one he called. I don't even think I was the third one he called. I just think he called me because none of the rest of them wouldn't answer. You know? So, you know, think about that. God's calling us to himself. If we don't answer, somebody else will. Let's be the one that answers. So this same parable again is also in Matthew now. And it's just amazing to me how this is repeated over and over. Matthew goes a little farther, so I'm going to read it from here. It says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is in Matthew chapter 13, 9 through 7. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whosoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. And whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, and this quote is from Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. And it says, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now that's a pretty rough message, isn't it? But do you all realize that this scripture is, you know, we read Isaiah chapter 6 and it says, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah is surrounded by seraphim. And one goes and gets he says, woe is to me, because I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the seraphim goes and gets a coal and brings it and touches his lips. And he is cleansed from. And then the cry goes out from God, who can I send to speak to these people? And Isaiah is saying, here I am, God, send me. This is a message that he gave him to send, to had to go speak. Now, I mean, we think of that wonderful passage there, and we think about this great word that God must have given him to send. But this is it. Wake up. See. You've been given this opportunity. This is to the people of Israel, he's speaking. You've been given this opportunity. I am your God. I am willing to, you know, for you to be my people. I want to bring you into all these places, and I want to do all these marvelous things with you, and I want to show the world my splendor through you. But you won't hear me. You won't see me. You won't even try to understand. It says, then you have closed your eyes. You don't want to see me. How many times are we closing our eyes? We don't want to hear what God's. We're closing our ears. We don't want to hear what he's saying. We know he's going to ask us to do something we don't want to do. We're closing our ears. We have to come, and like I said at the beginning, we have to make ourselves look at what the truth is. And the truth is, this is what we've been doing. And the truth is, we're going to have to stop doing it. Because the call is going out to us, quit doing that. Open your eyes and open your ears and hear what I'm saying. You all are asking me for these miracles. You all want revival to break out. You all want all these wonderful things to happen, and I'm willing to do it. But you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to open them ears and do what I say to do. And you're going to have to open them eyes and see what I'm doing and jump on board. So this is a call going out to us, and we need to see and hear and not close our eyes and ears to the Lord. So as we begin to see and hear, we have to come back and remember this is our privilege as citizens of the kingdom of God. And we want to do it because we want what's coming afterwards. You know, but we're going to have to take part in it. We're not going to be able to be bystanders. Oh, yeah, she's on fire. Watch it, her. I bet revival breaks out. Watch it, him over there. Gee, do you see he's on fire? What about you? Why aren't you on fire? We all have that privilege. So now I want to talk about going down after this passage, and this is verse 16 of that same passage in Matthew. And it said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see to what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." How many places have begged God for revival? How many times have we ourselves begged God for revival? But God is saying, you desired to see it and you can see it. You can have that. If you'll just hear what I'm saying to you right now, if you'll just hear that, and if you'll just receive it, and you'll just get on board with it, you can have that. God's ultimate goal is to redeem us. He wants to redeem that remnant. In this Isaiah passage that he's talking about, the same message that goes out, a receptive heart takes a hold of it and hears it and does it. The unreceptive heart, it just gets worse for them. So these people get carried off at this time. And it says basically what's left is a stump. And out of that stump will grow again. And so what that means is he's left a remnant. And out of that remnant, he'll bring revival and raise back up. We're not as big as we used to be, but we're a remnant if we choose to take it. You know, God is willing to do that. So we have to be aware that God is looking for a remnant, and that is willing to see and hear. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be that remnant? Are we willing to be that people? Are we going to do this? Are we going to accept this offer that he's sending to us? In Acts 28:21-29, and they said to him, meaning Paul, "We neither received your letters from Judea concerning you, nor any of the brethren who came and reported or spoken evil of you, but we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it was spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, they came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and said one word, 'The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophets, our fathers, saying, go to this people and say,'" what? "Hearing they will hear and not understand. Seeing they will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull and their ears are hard of hearing." So you're given the same thing again, repeated Old Testament, Gospels, Acts, right on through. And so we have the same passage being repeated. And so God is coming trying to get this people to rise up. But they're not willing to hear, and they're not willing to see. So we have to be a people that's willing to see and willing to hear. And if we are, he will do mighty things here. In this country, we've been given every opportunity. How many have Bibles? How many have more than one Bible? How many have a TV that you can watch the Word of God preached on TV? How many have a radio that you could hear it on the radio? How many have a cell phone that you could take it with you where you go? All right, now, we got any excuses? None. We have been given all kinds of privileges to be able to hear the word of God. But we're letting Satan steal that time from us when we could be hearing God and we could be seeing him. But we're letting it be stolen away from us. And our heart's cry is going out to the answer these prayers to help us, to guide us. But we're not listening. We're not hearing. We're not giving our time and attention to God to listen and to hear and to see. So we have to wake up to what we've been doing, repent, and start doing what we need to do in order to grow. Do you know that when you hear a word from God and you put it into practice, growth happens? But it don't happen if you just hear it and know about it and you don't put it into practice. So you got to hear it, you got to put it into practice, and you grow. And then you hear some more, and you put it into practice, and you grow. And so you keep on growing like that. And not only growing, but when the Word of God gets in you and it is growing in you, you feel alive. You feel like a lot of energy and vitality and, man, go, go, go. I could use some go, go, go. What about y'all? You know, see what I'm saying? That we're missing some of that because we're not in the growing level that we could have. And so we just need to open our eyes up to some of this truth so that we can get what's happening and how we've kind of fell into this trap, but we're not going to stay there now, you see. We know what we're supposed to do now. So 2 Peter 4 through 8 says, For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds.
See, what chapter
that's 2 Peter 2, 4 through 8. And so what I want us to see is a lot of things that we're putting before our eyes are actually tormenting our soul. Mm-hmm. We're letting ourselves watch stuff on TV. God knows we hear enough of it at the workplace, and we hear enough of it here, and we hear enough of it there, that we don't need to put it before our eyes on purpose. So we got to cut that stuff off. There's times that we can't help what's going on around us. But there's times that we can. And we need to wake up to the fact that the times that we can and turn off the TV, because that's not a good thing to be listening to. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with TV. I just now told you a while ago you could watch preachers on TV. That's good for you. You know, so be selective, though. You know, have some little, let the Holy Spirit lead you there, you know, because everything that barks is not a dog sometimes. So we just have to realize and wake up to the fact that that is there. Just use it for the good purpose that God intended for it to use. And let's not let the enemy rob us of that. Sometimes we're putting stuff before our eyes that we don't need to look at. You know, we need to encourage our spirit man. We need to encourage the Spirit of God that's inside of us to come out, to flow out from us, to give him access and the flow of the freedom to just pour from us. And when we throw all this filthy stuff to him, how would you feel if you're sitting on the couch and you're watching this nasty stuff on TV and Jesus is sitting there out there beside of you? How would you feel about that? Pretty bad, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is right inside you. He's sitting right there with you. You've got to get that picture. Guess what you're exposing the Spirit of God to? And all that filthy stuff that's coming out of your mouth, all that discouraging, disparaging stuff that's coming out of your mouth, we have to learn to quit that talk. You know, encourage the Holy Spirit to pour out of your mouth. All right, now, Psalms 101, verse 3. Let's look at some of these scriptures. It says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will make a choice on that. That's my choice to make. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. That's our choice. We're the one that has to make that choice. Psalms 119:37 says, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. So that's a prayer. God, I've got in the habit of this, and I need to quit this, and I need to break away from doing this, so help me to do this. Help me to turn my eyes away from looking at this stuff. Pray. Matthew 18:9 says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. So it's saying to us, we're responsible for what we're putting before our eyes, and we're responsible for what we're putting before our ears to some extent. And sometimes, even when it's not our choice, we can actually change the atmosphere of where we are. I can remember one time years and years ago when my son was a teenager, or young adult, I can't remember exactly how old he was at the time, but anyway, we were in a restaurant, and they were just cussing and saying all kinds of stuff in there ever was. All of a sudden, my son said, praise the Lord, it's a wonderful good day for God, isn't it? And I thought, everybody just stopped, you know. And he just changed the atmosphere in that place right there. Sometimes we just have to be a little bolder, you know. And sometimes, you know, the enemy strikes back, and we have to be ready for that too. But anyway, what I want us to understand is all the places that we can make a choice to change that. We should.
All I was going to say is, yeah, but there's also, God also does the, if you get, anybody watches like NCIS where Gibbs comes up behind the guys or, you know, like the back when Mike Weatherly was there, where you come up and smack him in the back of the head, you know, what they call a Gibbs slap. That I've gotten quite a few of those.
Yeah. You know the commercial on TV that says, I should have had a V8, you know, like this?
Yeah.
All right, that's the same. I get that same thing from that because, you know, so many times I'll be sitting there and I've been playing a game on my phone, you know, like for, I meant to play one or two games and all of a sudden I realize I've been there an hour, you know. And I look up and I thought, could have read a while, you know. That's what I'm saying right there. We need to look for those places and redeem that time. And there's none of us that are without those instances, you know. So and this is Proverbs 28:18. It says, when there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So when we're not seeing the way ahead, we may be inviting a future we don't want. So we need to get our eyes open till we can see what God's doing and the way he's leading, because we don't want to perish because we've not been able to see. And then in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? So what we need to understand that sometimes we don't mean to be rejecting God, but we are. Let's make ourselves look at what the truth is. We're turning away when God is motioning us to come to him. We're saying, I'm too busy right now. God will get to you later. But seem like later don't come. You know? First John 2:11 says, but he who hates his brothers in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hate, bitterness, all these things blind us from the truth. We need to get that stuff out of our heart. That's what's hindering our growth. But there's hope. You know, I want to turn this around now and just look at the side of where we need to look toward. Psalms 139:16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written the days you fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. You know, there was blind men and women that came to Jesus and received their sight. You know, if we've been blind, we can come to Jesus and he'll restore us our seeing, you know, our spiritual seeing, our spiritual sight, and our spiritual hearing. You know, if we come to him and ask him, he says he saw our substance being yet unformed. You know, we may have areas in our life that's still a lump of clay, but he still can form it into an image that's like himself, a a image that can let His Holy Spirit flow through. We bring our deaf places to Him and our blind places to Him, and He will heal them for us. So what does the picture look like when we do see and when we do hear? This passage in Acts 8, 4 through 8 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." In other words, they were being, some of them were being killed, some of them were being tortured, they were persecuted, and so they just scattered everywhere and started preaching wherever they went. And so Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. I like that picture a whole lot better, don't you? We got to go after that vision. We got to go for it. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The word of God enlightens our eyes, opens our eyes to what truth is. Hebrews 12:4 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God itself offers a level of discernment. So if you will read the Word, if you will study the Word, there is a level of discernment comes with that. That's not the gift of discernment, but there is a level of discernment comes from the Word of God itself. Ephesians 1:8 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, or the inheritance of His saints." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It's like you've been in a dark place, but when you start seeking after God and you start putting the Word of God before your eyes, a light begins, just like somebody comes in the room and turns a light bulb on. Oh, wow, looking a lot different in here now. You know, that's like, think about it now inside yourself. If you was thinking about it inside yourself and all of a sudden God just turns a light bulb on inside yourself, how's it going to feel on the inside? That difference that you'll know on the inside that's happening to you. The life that you feel, the excitement that you feel, the joy that you feel. Matthew 6:22 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light." So it's talking about getting our vision right, getting our seeing right, getting our eyes in the Word of God to where He can enlighten us, to where He can let that be. The lamp of the body is the eye. So, you know, if you had a lamp and you were in a dark place and you were holding it up to, you know, it says the Word of God is a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her pathway. Well, back then they used to have little lamps on their feet. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we have a little lights down here where we're walking, so we don't step on nothing we shouldn't step on, like snakes or something. and we got a light up here that shows us how to go forward, you know. And so, you know, White Brown used this example years ago, and he said, I might not, from right here, I can't see all the way to my house. But if I get in my car and turn my headlights on and I start, it shows me the light all the way home. You see what I'm saying? Wherever we go, the light will go with us, and it'll shine in our pathway if we're in the Word of God. And it enlightens us. It enlightens our pathway. It enlightens where we're going. Psalms 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." In other words, we're back again. When we don't see, we need to ask. We need to pray. Ask God, open this up for me. I don't want to be blind. I want to be able to see. So this is what we have to understand here, is this is something we have to aggressively pursue. It's not something we can be passive about. This has to be a choice on our part, that we actually go after God. I can remember the first time that I ever really understood what this meant is when I went after God when I was diagnosed with cancer. And I went after Him with everything I had. Every moment I had, I was in the Word. Every moment I had, I was on my knees. I mean, I go to the get up to my desk, and the first thing I do is sit down and pray, you know. 20, 30 times through the day I was praying. scriptures on my computer screen, scriptures on my bathroom mirror, pages like this laying on the side of my bathtub. You know, it was wherever I could stick in the Word of God. I had this on my nightstand, healing scriptures here, healing scriptures there, healing scriptures wherever I had a minute to sit down. It was before my eyes. 6 months, my life was turned upside down. 6 months, I was healed, free of cancer, and I was on fire. 6 months' time. Folks, if we really pursue God, it don't take him long. We can be alive. We can be in revival. We just have to pursue him with everything we've got. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. That word, looking unto Jesus, means looking unto him, to fix my eyes on him and look away from all distractions. It means on purpose, I look away from all distraction in order to fix my eyes on him. Realizing he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Realizing he can be the one that starts the faith. He is the one that will start the faith in my heart. He is the one that will finish it. God is able to open our eyes. He is able to open our ears. He is able to lead us. We are able to hear him like we have never heard him before, if we're just willing to pursue. Luke 10:17-24 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not heard it, have not seen it, and to hear what you have heard but have not heard it. You know, there's a lot of people that through the ages that would have loved to seen what those disciples seen. And those people that were sitting there in those congregations saw and heard. They were given that privilege of seeing and hearing Jesus himself speak in person. Many, many generations have desired that. Many, many generations have desired to have the opportunity that you and I have right now. We need to open our eyes up that we are truly blessed. We truly have opportunity to go forth. You know, I heard a statement saying the other day that, you know, in other countries, people are just hungry for God. We see all these miracles happen. How come we don't see them here? We're not hungry enough. We're not desperate enough. We're not seeking after him hard enough and strong enough. It's not because we don't have opportunity. We just don't do it. So we have to make ourselves face the truth and say, this is just the truth. We're just not doing it. Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Do we need some eye salve? You know, we just have to ask ourselves that question. You know, God is willing to heal our hearing and our sight. But we have to go to him and ask him. And we have to put into practice what he is asking us to do. So, our solution to our condition is 1 Timothy 4:7. And it says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourselves unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. When we practice reading the word, when we practice going to prayer, When we practice reading the word and saying, God, I don't understand this, but I know the Holy Spirit is living inside me, and what are you saying right here? Is this where I need to be, or do you need to lead me somewhere else, God? Maybe I should ask you that first. Oh, okay, I heard a little snatch of a scripture here. That must be over in Matthew, I think. Now, there it is. Render, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things that are God's to God. What are you saying to me about that, God? Start asking him. Be interactive. Be desirous. God, I am desperate to know what you're saying to me. My family's in trouble, God. I need you. I'm in trouble, God. I need you. I don't feel you like I used to. I want to, God. Help me feel you. Help me to hear you. Help me to know your voice. When we start praying, God's going to answer. Strip away the blindness, God. Get that wax out of my ears so I can hear you. I want to be real about this, God. I don't want to run no more. I don't want to hide no more. I just want you to speak straight out to me. And I want to know you. I want to know you. When we come to God like that, he is going to hear us. And he's going to answer. So we have to make this decision to exercise ourselves to godliness. It's a choice we have to make. And when we begin to make it, we have to begin to practice. And you may have some of those moments, those V8 moments, when you could have been reading instead of doing what you're doing. And, I've messed up again. But overall, in a day's time, you're going to say, okay, I'm doing better this week than I was last week. And next week, you look at it, I'm doing better this week than I was either one of the previous 2 weeks. I'm getting closer. I'm beginning to hear God better. And so as you continue on that journey, you're going to be amazed. We're all going to be amazed at what God's going to do. I don't think we could even imagine at this point what he's going to do with us if we were just really take a hold of it and do it. This is a hard lesson. It's not one of them feel good, you know, jump up and down and clap, yay, God. This is one of this, go, God, this is going to cost me something. You know, this price is pretty high. You know.
Well, then, like you said, raise your head
up. Raise your head up. This is time. God is saying, you want serious with me? I'll be serious with you. Here's your choice. If you want all these things, you could have it. This is how you get it. So we have to practice. Exercise ourselves to godliness. Get our ears unstopped, our eyes open, and just wait and see what God does. Because he's going to do it.
If you don't, you don't do what you just said, he'll let you know. Because there's times that I've been sitting watching TV, not doing it. There's a couple times I thought, okay, just sitting in the chair watching TV, kick back, relax. And it's like, beep.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
I'm looking around to see if, Mary was just doing that or,
I'm going to wrap this up by this one thing here. I wanted to see the ocean for years. Wanted to see the ocean. And several years back, my husband and son wanted to go to watch the Daytona to watch the races. So this was my opportunity to see the ocean, so I went. Of course, I went to the race, too. Y'all know I'm a NASCAR fan. So went to the race, too. But anyway, I'm in my naivety. I was thinking that if we drove down by the coast, I would actually be able to see the ocean. Didn't realize that I was too far inland. Yeah. Because I just heard them say they drove down by the coast, so I'm really thinking it's by the coast, And I can see the ocean occasionally driving down through there. No. My first glimpse was when we pulled into the parking lot at the hotel where we were staying. All the way down there, like 10 or 12 hours, I'm waiting to see the ocean. I'm anticipating, We get down there, and we pull in the parking lot, and this, to me, it was like this heap of water, it was so big, it just was scary to me. You know, and the only thing I was I could think of was that is held in its bounds by the word of God. He spoke, and that's the only thing is holding that in its place is because he spoke it. And my God, all these problems I had that was so bad and so big that I thought that nobody, not even you, could do nothing about them. And God, I am sorry, because you're way bigger than I knew you to be. And there's a song that we used to sing, God, I have made you too small in my eyes. Yeah. Oh, God, forgive me. For I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh God, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And with my heart and with my song, oh God, be glorified. God's way bigger than we can think about him being. What he speaks to our hearts will change us forever. Let's open up and hear what he's got to say to us.